I'm doing the third part of a mini-series called Consecrate for a Crossing. It started off as a one sermon and then grew into three. I just constantly, even after Edna shared last week, I just sensed that there's one more to solidify. So I'll do a fair bit of just recapping of what we have said. If you're new here or you've missed the messages, I believe it's a very important moment. The word that came last year was Sons of Issachar. You know that by now, and they a tribe of the Lord's people of Israel in the Old Testament, and they had to the grace to know the times and the seasons, and to know what to do. And being a prophetic church, we're not only that, but it is a big part of our makeup and our calling is hopefully that the Lord will then speak to us in a prophetic way that we can discern what is going on, around the world. Who in finance would love to know what is going to happen tomorrow or in a week's time or a month's time? Come on, be honest. Yeah, all of us, like, I would love to know. Yes, we can predict and you can look to the past, to look to the future, but none of us know exactly what is going to happen in a month or a year's time. Otherwise, investment will be less of a risk, right? But praise God, we're sons and daughters of God. And so spiritually, we may know. Because the word says that He, Christ, being our friend, when we come close and we're in an intimate relationship with Him, He shares His secrets with us. Now, who wants to be a friend of Jesus? Amen. Not only for our sake, but for the kingdom's sake. And so we believe it's a time where the Lord let my heart consecrate, to have consecrated hearts. And we'll quickly look at what that is if this is the first time that you hear it. We went back all the way 2 weeks ago to the promised land. God said to Moses, I'm going to take my people out of Egypt, 400 years in slavery. I'm going to take them out of there, and I'm going to take them to a promised land, a place of freedom. It's a word that has come up a lot tonight. But who of you often seeks freedom? And we know that freedom is not pina coladas on the beach in Mauritius, because there you can struggle with anxiety and fear and depression. Freedom is an inside thing, firstly. Real shalom peace is an inside job. And so in the Old Testament, God showed them through the physical things very often. Moving to a physical place, He said, I want to give you a place of freedom where you're your own, where you're not enslaved. You don't have to put up your hands, but some of us are still enslaved. It can either be sin or the system or the way in which we work and think. And so we can get enslaved so easily. And the Lord wants to take us all to promised lands, a place of freedom. In Joshua, moving a slight bit on, the Lord said then to Joshua, because Moses wasn't crossing, but Joshua was taking them over into the promised land. Please, if you don't know the history, go read it. Come and chat to me. I can't go through all of it, but it's so important to just see that picture because it speaks of our spiritual reality today. And then the Lord said to him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous because I am busy leading you. Who of you have ever received a word of God where He changed direction in your life, where He gave you a prophetic word, a rhema word, in other words, something that just comes and sits in your spirit that you know is of God? Who has ever received a word like that and you realize, now I need to be strong and courageous? Anybody? I've had a lot of them. I'm usually big mouth when it comes in the things of the Spirit, and then I'll pray and I'll say all these things and I'll make these promises, and then when the Lord moves us or He opens the door, something happens, then I'm like, oh, it now, what now? So we need to be strong and courageous in the Spirit, and when it manifests, we need to be strong and courageous as well. We can't just petition for the things, we need to receive them as well. So the promised land for you might be many things. There's a lot of symbolism, obviously, in this message. But for us as a church, Shofar Table View, it is also that we can break through for what we've been called. That does not mean a massive church, lots of numbers, but it means that we in depth grow with God, that we know that we are walking step by step in the call that He has for us, that people come to salvation, that we'll be a flourishing people, and that we will be a lighthouse unto our area and to the body of Christ that accurately and humbly receives word from God and then lives it and proclaims that. That is partly of what the Lord has promised us. Moving on, Joshua 3, we then looked at three things, and these are the ones that you can remember in this time, because it's not just a sermon. It's something that we trust to live and to daily be aware of. In Joshua 3, the Lord then speaks, God speaks to Joshua. We're going to jump and just quickly look at the three things. He says there, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, carried by the Levitical priest. Now that's a bunch of big words, but it's actually in our context, it's saying, when you sense God's presence, you must break camp and follow it. And so, in other words, God is moving. This is an Old Testament story. God was physically, through his presence in the Ark of the Covenant. When the Ark of the Covenant with the Levitical priest, those guys who were carrying it, if they're moving, you need to move. Who in the last week or two, since God's presence wasn't somewhere, or God's presence has been moving and you followed? Anybody? Who had no idea where the Ark of the Covenant was this last 2 weeks? Who know what the share prices was, but had no idea where the Ark of the Covenant was? We need to change that. Amen? Who knows what the Huisgenoot Voorblad was, but not where the Ark of the Covenant was? We need to change that. Amen? We need to change that because we are called to be his people. And it's not just something to tickle our ears. It is something where God is doing, I believe, a big thing, or we believe a big thing, not only here, but elsewhere. But we need to follow him. So they said, he said to them, break up camp and follow it. And then the second thing we're going to remember is, don't go near it, that's God's presence, so that you can see the way to go, for you haven't traveled this way before. So they've been, and I'm not going to repeat the whole sermon, in 40 years they were in camping so that God can get the unbelief out of their hearts in the wilderness, just going around in circles before they can cross the Jordan. God was dealing with a whole generation of unbelief that died in the desert. We know by now, if you struggle with unbelief, if you harden your heart towards God and his ways, guess what? You stay home. And home is the desert. It's not a nice place. Because you haven't traveled this way before. In other words, it's going to be different. It's going to look different. Who loves change? Petri? Yeah, Petri like me change. For those personalities that's not that fond of change, this sometimes is even tough. In following the Lord. And then the third thing, and this is the main crux of this sermon series, is consecrate yourselves because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. We love to see the wonders. We want to see the miracle signs and wonders. We want to see this stuff happen. But the Lord says, consecrate yourself. So those three elements in the season, I believe, is very important. So who of you guys have been following the Lord and also consecrating your hearts the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Anybody? Anything where you can literally see that, man, the Lord challenged me on that. And by his grace, not by our own religious mustering it up and white-knuckling through it, but by his grace, I was actually led to lay that down or bring a change in my life. Because that's the heart. It's one thing to hear a message. It's another thing that we can live it so that we can see the fruit of it. I believe also that this whole season for us as a church is about the posture of our heart. What is the posture of my heart? Am I haughty? Am I prideful? Am I teachable? Am I humble towards the Lord? And can he challenge me? He's not going to push you. He's not going to bring fear tactics. I'm not going to preach on this for 17 years. But he just wants an in. He just wants us to allow him in. Just bring a posture of our heart in humility before him, and then love comes and does the rest. Please don't hear this religious yoke in this series. I believe it's a holy word. I believe it's a season for holiness, and that we know by now. God is a righteous God, but he's a loving Father, and we can see that through Christ, that he helps us. So if you're struggling letting it go, just say, Lord, I'm struggling to let it go. Help me. Help me to let it go. Because the posture of our hearts is what is important to the Lord. Consecration, we said, is something that is set apart or dedicated. This mic is dedicated, set apart today for what? Amplification of this message so that we can hear it and it can be recorded. It is set apart. Who of you is set apart for the kingdom in this season? Who of you is kind of set apart for the kingdom in this season? Come on, be honest. It must be two of us. Now, the heart is obviously we always think, yes, alles vir die huis, we're going to do it. But there's a part of us called the flesh that is sometimes in a tug of war with our spirit, man. But we are called to dedicate ourselves, to be set apart. It says there, the separation of oneself from things that are unclean and especially anything that could contaminate my relationship with God. So what is God asking of you to lay down in this season? Does anybody want to say aloud? Anybody? I'd like to make it practical. Yes, Rob. Social media. Perfect example. Thanks, Rob. Anybody else? What is the Lord asking you? Remember, He will lead you both to will and to do. He will lead you both to will and to do. So if He gives an order, in that is the grace to do it as well. I've used the analogy before that I give pocket money to my kids and then I ask him to make a contribution to something. I give it to them to give it back to me. That's called grace. They didn't earn it. They didn't work for it. Likewise, when God says, please consecrate, He will give you the grace and love to do that. Does it make sense? Does it sound like a good God? But you still need to let go. What else? We heard social media. Anything else that the Lord has asked you to lay down? Paul? You're not your provider. That control of and thinking and way of thinking of He needs to provide and He needs to do everything, He should lay that down. That's a brilliant one. Anybody else? Anything? You don't have to say anything, but it's good just to give handles so that we can live out what is shared. That suits us, our message well tonight, to trying to figure out how God's going to do it. Anything else practically? Edna mentioned her books that she's been reading. Koffie. Ek het dit nie gehoor nie. Hy was roof. Ons moet hierdie deel edit. Sorry, Here, dit is net 'n grappie. Maar koffie, that's a good thing. So there might be something now, even as we joke or as we share, that the Lord is just tugging on your heart, that you know that He's saying, hey, consecrate, let this thing go, because you want more of me, because we are going through the Jordan into the promised land. Last week, Edna, I honored her already. I know she would say it's not about her, but a brilliant message. If you missed it, please go and listen to it 17 times again about the consecration of our mouths and our tongues and how important our words is in creating. It carries substance. It's got a punch, albeit good or bad. What are we going to punch with our words? And we're going to be accountable one day before the Lord for all of those words. So that's a great place of consecration. A consecrated heart, guess what? We'll have a consecrated mouth. If you're constantly saying to yourself, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or I didn't want to say that, guess what? It's not your mouth that's the issue. Let's have a look at the heart. Allow Christ in again. But that it was just so good and so important. Even this week, we faced and heard some news that we needed to deal with. Even as I was jogging, I wanted to talk to myself, because it was so brilliant that I could just then remind myself the whole time, be careful of what you say in this moment. My emotions was just going through the roof, and I was just thinking of lots of scenarios. But then I was just thankful for that word. So go and listen to it. So we need to be set apart for His supernatural. Supernatural living is just for everybody. It's not like the TV evangelist that's called for the supernatural. Any Christians in the church today? Any Christians? By a show of hands. I'm going to do an altar call if you don't put up your hand. Thank you. And we don't have time for an altar call now. So there's lots of Christians in this house today. Guess what? We are all called for a supernatural lifestyle. That is just natural Christ-following living. That's it. So we are called for this. Verse 5 there, it's up on the board. Consecrate yourselves, because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. We love the wonders. I want to see more of what Edna shared. We're going to trust for that wonders for those that we pray today. I want to see provisional wonders for you. I want to see open doors in what you do in your life and with your ministry and your calling. I want to see the wonders of God, not only for us, but through us for others. But the consecration is important. God is faithful, but He's also righteous and holy. And He says, hey guys, you need to consecrate. Consecrate, to go through the Jordan. Four things. We've mentioned three when it comes to consecration. One is consecrating yourself, setting yourself apart, saying, here's my life, please use it. Not everybody needs to be in full-time ministry, but I do believe lots more people are called for full-time ministry. I'm just putting it out there. Not because Shofar really has a vision for planting more churches in this coming season, but I believe so many more people are called for full-time ministry as we understand it. I know everybody is called for full-time in their business, but I also believe that those are called for missionaries and to go out and to lay down all the things of the world so that they can follow the Lord. But we need to consecrate whatever, if it's business, finance, if you're an entrepreneur, we are called to consecrate our lives. Second thing is to let go of sin in the flesh. That's an obvious one. How do we let go of sin? We confess. We ask God. We humble ourselves. We open up. We walk in the light. We say, hey, please help. Here's a bit of a problem. And so that's what we do. Third thing is, it's giving up something where that was okay until now, but not anymore. We said that, but it's so important. It might not be sin that the Lord is asking you to give up in this time. It might be just something that's an habit. And he's saying, hey man, that's not going to kill you, but guess what? It's not going to bring more of me. And you're not going to catch the wave with that weight on your back. It's not a sin thing per se, maybe. It's not a moral dilemma. But he's saying, hey man, if you chuck off that weight, if you chuck that thing off that's stealing all of your time, guess what? You're going to love to surf this wave with me. And so maybe that's a word for somebody. And then the fourth thing, and that's today. Consecration is letting go or releasing something. Something that you have that the Lord calls you to release. Who loves to let go? I'm not going to sing, no. I am not going to do that. So you just let it go. But the Lord calls us sometimes to let go of things. I had to, and this is again my testimony, my walk, it's not yours. So please don't hear what I'm not saying, but it might be one day. I had to let go of my career. I've used this analogy before, like I was stretching, I was trying to do both. Like I'm holding on, I'm following the Lord, full-time ministry or ministry per se, and I'm just trying to make both. I just actually wanted to get a salary. That was actually, if I was really honest, I just wanted the money so that we don't die in following Jesus. And so I was stretched in such a way, but God was so gracious that little by little, it was like, my pinky at the end, and then I could, people's always like, how did you do it? It's so amazing. I'm like, no, I died. It was really horrible. I cried. A guy called Retief Ace with a beard in Malmesbury crying. That's really not the Afrikaner dream. But I had to release. I needed to let go, and I believe if we say consecration, this is a last element that we need to realize. Yes, we lay down things and habits and change values and say, Lord, help us, and we work out the sin. But there's maybe a sowing part. There's a sowing part that is part, a releasing and sowing part that is part of this word. So the Lord reminded me of a word, of a story in the Old Testament in 1 Kings. And we're going to jump right into it. And that's where this amazing props comes into play. 1 Kings 17, verse 7. After a while, the wadi dried up because there had been no rain in the land. You remember the 2 weeks ago with the tongue that was brought. One of the interpretations was, part of the interpretation was that the latter rain will be more than the former. And we've maybe been in a spell where we say, Lord, we want more of your spirit rain. We want more life, Lord. We want new life. And so here this, the people of God is in 1 Kings. They're in the same situation. It's dry. The plaas dam is droog. There's nothing to eat anymore. And now we read this beautiful story, Elijah and the widow. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that's Elijah. Get up, go to Zarephath, and which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Now here's maybe a good example of God's moving. God's will for his life is moving. The Ark of the Covenant is moving. God is saying, yes, you're here. I see you, you've got, there's a famine. I see you need provision. You probably need food. Come, move with me. And so he was sensitive towards what the Lord is saying to him. Look, I have commanded a woman who is a widow to provide for you there. So Elijah got up and went to Zarephath. When he arrived at the city gate, there was a widow gathering wood. Elijah called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup and let me drink. As she went to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. So which... it sounds like our kids. Yes, bring me, and that, please. And so it sounds pretty normal. But let's read on, because it's not an easy one for her to hear. Verse 12, but she said, as the Lord your God lives. In other words, I am telling you the honest truth. I don't have anything baked. Only a handful of flour. Ta-dam. And a jar with a bit of oil. Ta-dam. In the jug. Just now I'm gathering a couple of sticks in order to go prepare it for myself and my son so we can eat and die. That's pretty hardcore. If you ever heard a mom say that. Now we know the story. So hindsight is perfect science, but let's just pretend we haven't read this. We haven't heard this. So imagine a guy saying, hey, can I have a bit of water? Yeah, that one can make a plan. And bread. And the lady turns around and says, look here, what you're asking of me is what is standing between life and death for me and my son. So please let this grab our hearts. Let the reality of this moment grab our hearts. There are people said with respect in our country that face these moments, literally. Then to see how beautiful God is. Then Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a small loaf from it and bring it out to me. So he kind of ignores it. Afterward, you may make some for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. So he is chatting to her, giving her orders, asking her politely, overriding her will to a slight degree, and then he says what God says. I want you to hear that. Because when we go through a Jordan, when God leads us to a promised land, when he asks us to release or let something go, we need to know what God says. Let that permeate, let that just strike our spirits. For the Lord God of Israel says, the flour jar will not become empty, and the oil jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the surface of the land. See how beautiful posture of her heart to see what she does. So she proceeded to do according to the word of Elijah. Don't think they knew each other, by the way, by that time. Otherwise, God would have said, go to Sunny, that you know well in Sidon. No, he said, go to a widow. And she just humbles her heart. Her posture is just beautiful. And she did that. Then the woman, Elijah, and her household ate for many days. The flour jar did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry, according to the word of the Lord he had spoken through Elijah. And so we know the story, but I want us just to bring it home, because it is so applicable to our lives. Just imagine being in that position where she had so little. This weird guy comes along and says, hey, please give me water and bread, being the last you had. And knowing that she and her son's going to die if they do so. But yet she humbles her heart. She hears what God says and then she acts upon that. We all know another story of food and people that are very hungry. Who remembers the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? The young lad, again, supernatural provision through what? Him giving his loaves and his fish to Jesus. But I want us to see something here in context of the season that the Lord is calling us in. Because it's wow when this is just full and full and full until the rain comes and they can just bake and they can just eat and they have a good time. That is brilliant. And it's brilliant when 5,000 men, women, and children are fed by 5 loaves and 2 fish because of a miracle. So the wonders followed. But I want us to see and stop with the consecration part. Because, hey, if you look at this and we didn't know these stories, and I told you, let's say you did not believe, you did not know this God of us. You said, I follow this God that will take the last flour and oil of a widow that if there's no miracle, she would die. Or if I tell you, hey, guess what? My God, through his son Jesus, in a crowd, looked to the one boy and took his lunch. Imagine you go to a church and you see the pastor there or a leader there, and they go around into kids' church. Man, I'm hungry. I haven't ate anything today, and grabs the kids' lunch and just pops out of there. Who would not be offended? I remember when we were in I wanted to say dire straits, but when we were in a tough situation, God didn't use the rich people. to help us out. Maybe one or two. But God often used He used those that didn't have much. He used people in ministry to provide for us for 3 years. And I know what the guy earns, and he gave more than half of his salary. He didn't ask the uber rich guys. He asked those who had a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil left. He did massive miracles. And here's the thing, when I look at the gospel, and here's the thing when I look at the word and our God and the character of our God, and we know his goodness, so we that is settled in our heart. But when he asks us to release and to give something, sometimes it's an offensive thing that he does. We serve a God that takes the last flour and last oil off a widow. We serve a God that takes the lunch of a kid. But then we see what he does with that. We see that every single one of these stories have a massive, supernatural, beautiful, wonderful outcome. But it's tough in that moment. And had we not heard the stories before, we could close our hearts to what he was about to do. We can harden our hearts of what he's about to do. How many times I cried to the Lord, Lord, please provide for us in Malmesbury. Lord, thank you that you'll provide. Lord, and please do not use Hein. Please, Lord, do not use Hein. And then I would speak to Hein. He's like, oh, God spoke to me last Tuesday already in my quiet time. I need to bless you with money. And I'm like, Lord, please not him. You see, because God is so much bigger than our ideas. And when he asks us to sow and to give and to release something, it might be very offensive to the flesh and to our culture. And it might be something that we did not see coming. You want some more of that reality checks? Third thing, I don't have it on there. Who sends the smallest Oki to fight Goliath? Our God. He did not even make the army. He was only there because he took the snack witches and the polony. That's the only reason he was there. I'm talking about David. David didn't even make the team. He was a small guy, but he had a slingshot and 5 clippies. Who calls the one who persecuted the church, ordering the killing of Christians, to become one of the generals of the faith and write the biggest portion of our New Testament? Saul. That's our God. That's the God we serve. He asks the guy that's the biggest persecutor of the first church, he's the guy that orders the killings of Christians to be radically saved, as his life is released into the hands of our Almighty God, changed upside down, becomes Paul, and he still changes the world through what God has done in his life. Who uses the smallest nation to be his first people? Who calls God to be born as a man in a stable? Imagine today the selfies and the photos, and you're like on Facebook, Liffy, is it a kui? Is that a cow in the background? Is that the mother-in-law or is that a cow? What is that? Imagine. So I'm just checking that everybody's awake. Edna says, your mont. The donkey, the father-in-law. Balance. But imagine. We know this by now. It's old news. But imagine God being born. God being born on earth. And it happens in a stable. I'm just saying, hey guys, when we say consecrate and when God asks things of us, it's going to end beautifully. That I know. If we keep on following, it's going to end beautifully. We don't even have to worry about his character and goodness. I'm just saying there might be moments of release that is countercultural and offensive to the flesh. Who calls Jesus to be born from an unmarried woman? Who calls fishermen and tax collectors as disciples? They probably were rough around the edges. I'm sure there was one or two words that came out of their mouths prior to Christ that was not very Christ-like. Who called them instead and not rabbis, Pharisees, or Sadducees? Who gives a child to a man and then says, sacrificing. Who says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and then not explain himself? I just believe the Lord is tugging on my heart to be careful when he asks us to consecrate, that it might look that it's crazy. It might look as if it's illogical. It might look that it can actually be hair-raising and offensive, but be careful. In that moment, let's have the postures of our heart in a gospel-like way. Here comes the Savior of the earth, and he dies on a cross. But 3 days later. And here's the thing is, when God calls you to give your last flower, when he asks you to give your last bit of oil, when he asks you to give your life, do not stumble over that moment of release and consecration, but trust him for the resurrection that will come through your obedience. Tim Keller this week, I read, I think over the weekend, if you only obey God's word when it seems reasonable and profitable to you, that isn't really obedience at all. So when we need to talk about consecration, let's talk about consecration. Ek het komkommer opgegee. Great. Dis 'n goeie begin. But there's other guys that followed this Jesus that died upside down on a cross. And I'm not saying from a high and lofty place like, oh, I've got it all sorted out. This is the stuck in my heart. We're moving into a new place that thankfully the Lord has provided. But there's also space where on our way here, I said to Edna, we need to sit around the table with our kids and say, are you willing to give it again? That if we're there for a week, God may also say, I need to have this, please. Amen? Kornie, amen, moet nie te veel verbid nie. I'm joking, but I'm not joking. But this is the king that we serve, and we've got an eternal calling that is so much bigger. That is so much. That widow's story, her story is still being preached about today, how many thousand years later. It still has an effect that she brought the posture of her heart before her God and said, I will release. I will trust him. This is so stupid, but I will release this, and I will trust him. Because ultimately, we want to have real obedience in our hearts. The posture of our hearts. So the wonders of God, as we trust for the crossing, as we go into a promised land, as we ask for and trust for more of the Lord, when he asks certain things of us, he will allow it, and he will call us to do things that sometimes feel illogical or unrealistic, but that will lead to the wonder. He will sometimes ask us to have blind trust, but it will lead to the wonder. It will be scary letting it go and having to release something, but it will lead to his wonder. As part of the public tongue, I think Nita said that God is saying, step back. There's a stepping back for some of us. That's also a release and a letting go. But a stepping back that he's calling you to do, and that will lead to the wonder. There's an overcoming of the offense of what God is doing that leads to the wonder. I've mentioned many times that what God does is offensive. But God is, if you go look at the word and all the people he's called, he's very often outside of our boxes. Amen. And so when he says, hey, be careful, we're going to go down a new road, and I might ask you to consecrate certain things, let's be open that the Spirit will show us what that is, because ultimately we want the posture of our heart to be one of humility. Knowing him and his character leads to the wonder. I saw this, and I want to just, Petri, you can come up if you don't mind. I saw this, that as this woman gave the little bit of bread that she had, that she could not afford, as she willingly gave that away, obviously it became more. And immediately as I read through that scripture a number of times, at one stage, I just thought of everybody that volunteers and serves in church. And I want to just say to the Emmys and the Simbas, and man, I can't mention all of your names, but in all the ministries that constantly just serve and give, and sometimes you feel that I only have a little bit of flour left and a little bit of oil. I just have a little bit of Jesus bread left. And now you want me to do another thing, or now I need to be there again. This is not a hype talk to get in volunteers, but it might be a good conviction as well. But it is something that is scriptural. And I want to just encourage those that serve so well and so faithfully that even when you feel that your flour is running out and your oil is running low, please bring that back to Christ and keep on sowing that. Keep on giving away your bread. Keep on giving away what the Lord has given to you. Keep on giving away the bread of life that you have, and don't stop. And then I want to just end off with the following question. Is God knocking on your heart to release something? You guys can stand with us, please. I've said it before, you might think, oh, lack of vacancy, but the sabbatical and actually taking the sabbatical was probably one of the most difficult decisions of my life. Of course, the last 8 years have been amazing, but it's been tough and hard in many ways. And so you start white-knuckling things and you're like, you need to be faithful because one day you're going to stand before God. And so when somebody says to you, release and let it go, not knowing what the heck's going to happen, that's nerve-wracking. You might think, ach, no, man. But that's part of my personality and calling, I guess. And so one of the places where the Lord said, hey, you need to let go, was exactly that. Just to let that go and allow Him to have His way and to do what He wants to do. And I know that He is knocking on your door to do the same. Let us pray. Thank you, Father God. When you call us to consecrate and release and let go, Lord, it is never really about the thing that we let go. It's about our hearts. It's actually about our freedom. It's actually about Christ and growing in Christ's likeness ourselves, Lord. And so thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just move amongst us now. Thank you that you just minister to us now. Thank you that you just remind us of things. It might be as practical as bread or money or something. Or maybe something deeper, Lord, that you're just highlighting in the hearts. That you are saying, hey, even if this looks illogical, even if this is tough, even if this offends your flesh, are you willing to release this into my hands? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that love is needed in moments like this. So thank you, Lord, that everybody can just be reminded of your love. Thank you, Father God, that you love us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, whatever we give or sow or lay down, Father God, is never bigger than what you have planned, Lord. And thank you, Lord, I pray that it will be permeated with love, not with some charismatic formula, but love, intimacy, and relationship. Otherwise, we need to keep it. If it's not permeated, if it's not soaked in, if it's not marinated in love and the character and the heart of Jesus Christ, we need to keep it. Otherwise, it's mechanical. And so, Lord, thank you that your love just works inside of our hearts. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you just love on us. That we realize whatever we hold on to is nothing compared to who you are. If there's something that the Lord has laid on your heart, you can just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Maybe there's something that the Lord is asking of you to release. Even if it's just something as simple as control per se. Thank you. Thank you, Father God, for these hands. When we let go, we run into your arms. We run into your will. We run into your wonder and your supernatural grace. I'm just going to pray for all of us with our hands up. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. Thank you, Lord, that we see not only as with the widow, but with many other stories that sometimes you ask interesting things of us because you know our hearts. Even the rich young man, you knew his heart. And so likewise, you know our hearts. And you know what triggers there are in our hearts. And so thank you for these hands that faithfully are just saying, Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. You are my Lord and you are in control, and have your way. But I thank you for the wonder. I thank you for the love. I thank you for the intimacy. And I thank you, Father God, that others will live because of your grace upon my life. If you say amen to that, you can just say amen to that. Amen. Amen. If you need any other or further ministry, you're welcome to come forward. I'll pray for you, or if there's any of the small group leaders, they can pray for you. Otherwise, have an amazing week. Remember your children. God bless.